Hello, Hivians. Today's episode of The Wretched Hive is brought to you by Audible.com.
That's right, Lisa. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at...
Sorry! I said child.
That's right, Lisa. Get a free audiobook download.
Shut up! Today's episode of The Wretched Hive is brought to you by Audible.com. Today's
That's right, Lisa. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/hive. That's H-I-V-E.
That's right, Christine. Over 180,000 titles to choose from on your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or M3. Over 180,000 titles to choose from your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Welcome to the Wretched Hive Podcast.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Mos Eisley Spaceport.
What are you talking about?
You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
This is ridiculous.
We must be cautious.
Actually, we're just a bunch of guys talking about Star Wars and other stuff.
I'm looking forward to having some real talk with some real folks.
That's good news.
I like the sound of that.
You know, our listenership doubled because of that Audible.com intro. I think it might have been Lisa and Christine listening to themselves over and over and over again. But that's okay because you have found the Wretched Hive Podcast for Friday, April 14th, 2017, episode 34 of the Wretched Hive Podcast. It's a big one today because Star Wars Celebration has finally arrived. And we are in Orlando to record the... Wait.
No. Almost, we're halfway there.
Some of us are in Orlando.
We're halfway
there. One of us took that last minute flight out to Orlando to get the exclusive coverage for the Wretched Hive. How's it going out there, Steve?
It feels a lot like Long Beach, actually.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, we did not make it to Orlando. We are absent from Star Wars Celebration. But, thankfully, StarWars.com, as you mentioned, Greg, is going to be broadcasting much of it. So we will be glued to StarWars.com, like many of our fans undoubtedly will be, for the next couple of days.
Now, I don't know if I ever confirmed that it was on Star Wars. Is it the Star Wars YouTube channel, or is it StarWars.com? Did we figure out exactly where it was going to be?
It is StarWars.com. As our show airing, it's been streaming on StarWars.com since yesterday, Thursday morning, I think at 11 a.m., if I'm not mistaken. If you go to StarWars.com, it's right there. Yeah, 11 a.m. on Thursday morning, the festivities begin.
I mean, when this thing goes up, we'll have actually seen the Last Jedi trailer.
That's the rumor. Are we going to get that first thing right off the bat, the first panel Thursday morning?
So the Last Jedi panel begins at 11 a.m. Eastern time.
Okay.
On Friday the 14th.
Oh, it's Eastern time.
Yes. So, and the panel, I think when they did the Force Awakens panel out here, it lasted about an hour because you were at that panel, right, Steve?
Yes,
about
I was.
An hour?
I was in the room with JJ and friends for the... Chewie, we're home moment.
So
then I cried like a baby.
If the Last Jedi teaser trailer has not aired by 9:30
Pacific
West Coast time.
Right. Pacific time.
West Coast time.
Yep.
I'll eat my left testicle.
Okay.
Wow.
All right.
Oh, wow.
You've heard it here. Craig Lent. You know, get out the mustard and ketchup.
It's just got all Game of Thrones on me. That's
it did.
Wow.
Well, let's go ahead and do some introductions just so we make sure everybody knows who's eating their own testicles. I won't be eating anyone's or mine. But it sounds like most of the Hive is here tonight, including my Wookiee co-pilot and lover of all testicles, Greg Lent.
So, a couple of things first. Things that I want to get started off with. Well, three things. Okay. Number one, welcome, listeners. Thanks again for joining us for episode number 34, The Wretched Hive. So glad you joined us. Number two, I'm joining this podcast tonight a little sad. A little bit sad.
What's wrong?
I'll tell you why, quickly. We win any Star Wars podcast awards.
Actually, that's not entirely true.
They announced it.
The
Star Wars Podcast Awards?
Yeah, no, we won Best Star Wars Podcast in the Baldwin household.
Oh.
Yeah, we did.
Okay, well, then I have something to look forward to then. All right, excellent.
No, I hear you. We did not win.
Number three.
Yes, sir.
Positive this past Saturday night that we killed Steve Baldwin. So I don't know who this guy is that's talking to us tonight. I am not in the room with him, but I am sure we killed that person. Who are you?
It is me. I'm just to fill the listeners in, last weekend was my birthday. I turned 49 on April the 8th, this past last weekend, actually. And we had a little get-together at a German restaurant here in Long Beach. They specialize in sausage and pretzels and beer. And
boy,
did we
sample that sausage.
You had the pint glass or the 2-pint glass or the 2-liter boot. And I ordered the 2-liter boot and had to be carried out of the restaurant, literally. Well, almost.
It was a side of Steve I've never seen before. And again, I wished him a fond farewell upon my exit for that evening because I was sure he was dead.
That was a lot of blue milk I drank that night for sure. That was a lot. Also joining the podcast, lifelong Star Wars fan.
You're not letting me finish here.
Sorry.
You've got to stop.
Scotty Vansky.
Greg, please continue, please.
Greg, you have the conch. Go.
Excellent. All right. So, happy birthday, Steve, and another happy birthday to lifelong Star Wars fan, Scotty Vansky.
What? I don't even know what you're talking about, man, but thank you. Yes, it was my birthday as well. I was quite wonderfully inebriated that night. It was wonderful. It was beautiful. In fact, I still am. I just let it run for a good 5 solid days. So we're good. We're solid right now.
Excellent.
But I have some stuff we need to jump back on later after the introductions here about the trailer and about Celebration and a few other things about this week.
Oh, we're gonna get to it for sure. That's top of the news list here, Celebration. But let's finish this segment here. We've got also the captain of the Millennial Falcon, Rico Rodriguez.
The one and only.
Nico, how was your week this week?
My week was all right.
Excellent.
Are
you in Orlando right now? I'm guessing the answer is no to that question.
Yeah.
All right.
I didn't hear what you asked him. What did you ask him?
I asked him if he was in Orlando.
In Orlando.
He might be.
I might be, but not. I don't know. One exciting thing happened to me this week. I am now a licensed life insurance salesman in the state of California.
What?
Fantastic.
Really? I passed the state exam, and I'm licensed.
Wow.
Good news.
So if you need life insurance,
contact the Wretched Hive.
Yeah. In the state of California.
We'll get you. Maybe you should get to Alderaan and start selling some life insurance to those people. They need it.
And then when you're done with Alderaan, go down by Hosni and Prime, see what they got going on. Maybe a quick swing by Jeddah to see what's happening there too. All good stops on your route.
Dave, under no circumstances should you ever, ever call him Harry Potter, is absent tonight.
Except tonight, we can call him Harry.
Except tonight we can, because he's not here.
I can.
Scott can. He may be joining us later. We hope he will call in. He got tickets to a Clipper basketball game tonight. And so he is definitely keeping his commitment to his girlfriend, Christine. And they went to the Clipper game tonight. So hopefully he'll be calling us a little bit later. But as always, if you would like to connect with us, or if you need some life insurance, reach out to us at facebook.com/wretchedhivepodcast. Got lots of good stuff going on Facebook. Also, we've been more active on Twitter lately. That's at wretchedhivepod. And you can always call and leave us a voicemail. That number, the Wretched Hive Hotline's 562-455-4483. That's 562-455-HIVE. And before we forget, we got another special shout-out this week. We're getting more and more listeners from the UK, guys. I think we've doubled our listenership in the UK. I think there's four listeners in the UK. That's 100% increase.
That's lovely.
Well, you mentioned that earlier, Steve, that our listenership doubled. Because Lisa and Christine were listening to this because of their own intro. Does that mean we only now have four listeners? Or
I think that's total. We have about 80. Double.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
80. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, hey, cheers to all the guys in the UK listening to us.
That's right.
Big shouts.
So, guys, let's get into it. There's a lot of news to cover this week, guys.
From ABC News World Headquarters, this is ABC World News Tonight.
No, it's not. It's Star Wars news with the Wretched Hive.
So be it.
Well, the big news this week, you just cannot avoid it if you're a Star Wars fan. Star Wars Celebration is here. It began Thursday morning, the 13th. Of April in Orlando, and it is the event to be at if you are a Star Wars fan. Getting lots of coverage. IGN has a great article. If you happen to be there at Star Wars Celebration listening to our show, hopefully you've downloaded the Star Wars Celebration app on your smartphone, because that thing is pretty slick. Has all the sessions you can go to. And the entire schedule, you can build your own session. But IGN did a nice job sort of breaking down the big things at Star Wars Celebration. We are definitely going to get a trailer, The Last Jedi's first trailer on Friday, we think at 11 a.m. Eastern time. That's 8 a.m. Pacific.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed, or there will be testicles eaten at the
House. I will gobble them up.
Wow. That's commitment. That's confidence there is what that is. We're going to get a first look at Star Wars Battlefront 2. And
Electric Boogaloo?
Electric Boogaloo is what they're calling it. And part of the trailer leaked earlier this week. Did you guys get a chance to take a look at that?
I did.
What'd you think?
I actually liked it. It looks fun.
Looks really good.
I'm excited.
The first game was a giant steaming piece of crap. We can all say that now and admit it and not feel bad about it, because that's what it was.
So let's hope they do better. I don't know about that.
I'm going to disagree with you on that. I enjoyed the first game. I had a lot of fun playing it.
Not a bit.
Greg was opinionated about this one.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
It's fun to throw opinions out, ball eater. Let's go.
Well, either way, we're going to get Battlefront 2 previewed, and I can tell you, boy, at the Star Wars Celebration Anaheim, I was in the room for the preview of Battlefront, and, you know, they've got complete surround sound, digital projection, it's bitchin'. It was so cool being in that room, and so fans are in for a treat with that, I'm sure. Then on Thursday, 11 a.m. Eastern. So I assume there's only one session, only one stage performance going on Thursday at 11 a.m., right? There can't be two. But this is three generations of Star Wars cast uniting, with recently Hayden Christensen announced as an attendee of Star Wars Celebration.
Coming out from whatever rock he's been living under for the past, I would say, a dozen years, and is now determined to make his name amongst the Star Wars universe once again.
What do you think? I mean, is this significant? Does this mean that Hayden's going to be involved in the series moving forward somehow? Maybe as a Force ghost, perhaps? What do you think? Hayden Christensen as a Force ghost in episode 8 or 9?
I'm hoping not.
I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
Well, although to be fair, Hayden Christensen is Force Ghost in the Star Wars universe. He was there at the end of Return of the Jedi. So if Yoda can come back as a Force Ghost, if Obi-Wan can come back as a Force Ghost, why couldn't Hayden Christensen?
I'm
turning around right now. It might happen.
I'm with you. I'm gonna go out on a huge limb here, and I'm gonna say it right now. Hayden Christensen is going to be a Force Ghost in episode 8 or 9, or I'm gonna eat my own left testicle.
Oh,
wow.
That's some serious.
That is serious.
You're not gonna eat Greg's right testicle?
No, hell no. No. But I'll eat my own. Now, Scott, you had this look on your face.
I'm not eating any testicles, that's all I'm saying. You guys are going out on a limb here.
You had this look on your face when
eating eating testicles, so he's done with that.
what do you think about Hayden? You're not buying this.
I'm not. I just think he's trying to redeem himself with the fans. That's about it.
Really?
Yeah. And nothing wrong with it. I actually think Hayden Christensen was a decent actor and got put into a role directed by an unchecked, unhinged person at the time. As much as I love the universe, I love the whole Star Wars universe, George Lucas doesn't sit right with me with those prequels, and we all know this. We've had this discussion before. My personal feeling is he... You know what? This isn't even an argument. This isn't even a discussion. Take one of the greatest actresses of this generation, Natalie Portman, and look at her performance through those three films. They are not anywhere near some of her Oscar caliber material. It's not their fault. Hayden Christensen was in a small movie prior to the Star Wars movies. What was it called? The Virgin Suicides, I believe. Small part, but still a pretty good role. It's not their fault. It has a lot. Everything that I feel about this is it falls on George's shoulders. He should have branched out, got the talent that was needed for those films, and I think it's fine with me that Hayden wants to show up at this thing and be a part of it. And he was a part of it, but it's like, you know what? Let him be who he wants to be. Come out and talk about it, whatever. Tell people that he really does like sand. I don't care, whatever it is. Let him have some fun with the fans, you know?
But he doesn't... I mean, I don't think his personality is one that needs... that seeks redemption here. I think there's one reason that he is at this con, and it is because he is going to be in one of the films.
See, I think it's more of getting himself back on track. If you can get yourself back on track with the Star Wars fans and community, you're going to look a lot better out there. If you save face by coming out there and showing, look, hey, you know what? I didn't do so great in that trilogy, but I had a lot of fun doing it, which we all know he did. He was on some of those behind-the-scenes videos talking about it. You come out there and you're just upfront and honest with the fan base, you're going to get a lot of cred right there. And you come back out, and next thing you know, the guy's going to be up. And he'll be up for Oscar in 2 years. Just watch.
That's a great point, actually. If he comes out and says, well, I love these movies. I'm such a huge fan of Star Wars. My performance, let's face it, was kind of crappy.
Yeah.
Everybody would love that.
He wouldn't even have to say that. All he would have to say is, look, you know what? I understand. They didn't come across the way that the fans wanted it to.
Yeah.
But we had a lot of fun making these movies. You can see it in you know, certainly the behind-the-scenes videos, but you can even see it in some of the performances. Mm. But, you know what? Let him save some face. Let him have some fun and be part of the community and not be, you know, I don't know, going to jail like Jake Lloyd or something.
Poor Jake Lloyd.
Yeah. You know, yeah. let him enjoy what he had, and I think it's fine. He'll be good. But I don't think he'll be a Force Ghost. I'm sorry you're gonna be eating some balls on this one. But I'm gonna bring it back to this. Here's why I don't think that's gonna happen. George isn't involved. George was involved, and that's why we had the crappy change with Hayden as a Force Ghost. Sebastian Shaw should have been in that part. He should have stayed in that part. It's ridiculous. If friggin' Hayden has to come back because, oh, he's good, and suddenly he's the good kid, what about Yoda? I still argue this. What about Yoda, and what about Obi-Wan? Could they just pick any old age they want?
What about him?
Yeah, what, you know what? I don't want to be an old guy coming back as a Force Ghost. I want to come back when I was 22. And don't tell me, oh, well, that was when he was good. He was redeemed at the end of that movie. He was an old, bald, no eyebrow, Sebastian Shaw, crazy motherfucker. And so, that's what he should have been.
So Hayden wants to redeem himself in the same way that Anakin redeemed himself.
Sure, nice. Bring it all back. See
so,
how you're doing
so
that?
Hayden's going to throw GL off of a off the scaffolding there.
I don't think he will.
All right.
None of them will.
What did I do to him? Why is he going to throw me off the scaffolding? What did I do?
Sorry, GL. Other GL. I'm talking about me. Shut up.
Oh God damn it.
All right. Other stuff happening at Celebration. A tribute to Carrie Fisher.
Nice.
Friday at 5:30 p.m. This is all Eastern, so translate, that's 2:30 Pacific.
You know what, Steve? I got to back this up. I think he will throw GL, as in RGL, off the cliff because I hear he's a big fan of the Wretched Hive podcast and has a beef with RGL.
Does he?
Yes.
You know what? He also hates Glenn Frey.
Well, who doesn't? A sneak peek at Star Wars Rebels on Saturday at 8 a.m. Eastern. Oh, that, you know, I'm... sorry, 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 Eastern. I am really looking forward to getting up on Saturday morning, making coffee, and getting back in bed, and just streaming this stuff. That's going to be great. Oh, it's going to be good. Saturday's
yeah, when they did it last year for the Rogue One panels and everything, I remember I spent most of that weekend at home glued to my computer. So I think it's going to be another one of those weekends for
so.
Me. Although I have some things planned. There's some things going on Saturday, and there's some things going on Friday as well, so it might not be as much as I would like, unfortunately.
Cancel them. Show prep. Let's go. StarWars.com also has a nice article. Now, everybody's talking about the big panels and the previews we're going to see, the trailers. What StarWars.com did was they broke down the Insider's Guide to Celebration Orlando, and I really appreciated this. This is cool. Of course, it's not so much of an Insider's Guide now that it's on StarWars.com. But StarWars.com promoting the less popular sessions at the con. You've got Droid Smash Derby happening all weekend long. I'm not sure what that is, but it sounds fun. 40 Years of Star Wars, Thursday at 11 a.m. Again, these times are Eastern time. Now, this is a cool one for you guys, for you artists out there. If I was going with my daughter, I know she would want to go to this. Doug Chang Masterclass.
That's cool.
Star Wars University, Sunday at 11 a.m. Let's see. It says, if I was an artist, I would absolutely not miss this chance for a masterclass with the executive creative director of Lucasfilm, Doug Chang. He's been creating in Star Wars universe for more than 20 years, and he oversees designs for all the Star Wars franchise developments. So that would be really cool to listen to Doug Chang talk about developing stuff for Star Wars.
I'm going to throw this out there because I've thrown a lot of shade on the prequels, and we know my love for the hatred for those. But Doug Chang deserves a lot of props. If you know, we're all fans of McQuarrie's artwork from the originals, but Doug Chang's work in those prequels is pretty spectacular. I have a couple of the art books. I think I have the artwork for Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones, and his stuff is just gorgeous, beautiful sci-fi fantasy artwork, very reminiscent of McQuarrie's artwork. So if you ever get a chance to pick up any of his stuff or those books, Art of Star Wars, Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, or Revenge of the Sith, check them out.
Well, the art of Rogue One is really cool too.
He has a lot to do with that,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They were talking about, well, in the special, the material that came on the DVD. What's it called again?
A bonus material.
Bonus material. Thank you. I got stuck on the word special there for a second. There's a great little segment where he talks about developing the new ship, the A-Wing. And they took like 18 months to develop that. So they had like 700 different designs.
The A-Wing. The
U-wing. The U-wing. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, let me check with K250. Man, I'm gonna throw that one out.
I know.
Nah, yeah. I'm giving you grief.
I choked.
It was a great video, Steve. It actually was.
Thank you. Did you choke on your left testicle?
No.
Seriously, we've been talking about Rogue One and the whole K2SO K250 for a year. How did you fuck that up, Steve?
I don't know. I really should not be consuming beverages while I do this show. And of course, that was at 8 a.m., so I have no excuses there. But
man, you're more hardcore than I am. Man. That's awesome.
That was the morning. Was that the morning app? No, that was the morning app. Anyway, never mind. Smuggler's Revenge. Now, this is a creation of filmmaker Kyle Newman, who directed Fanboys, of course. He puts on a live radio play that's his own script with another Star Wars sort of fan, celebrity F.J. DeSanto, and he writes the script. I saw the one that was called Smuggler's Bounty in Anaheim, and this year the third stage of the Smuggler series is Smuggler's Revenge. All-star voice cast. This is happening Saturday at 7 p.m., and I'm going to do everything I can to be in front of my computer at, I guess that would be 4 p.m. on Saturday, to try to catch the live stream. Also, The Art of Japanese Star Wars Vegetable Carving. Nobody wants to. Only at a Star Wars convention can you get this micro, right? That's Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern. Star Wars 365 Fact and Fiction, The Bounty Hunt, Small Talk with Warwick Davis. I'll see what they did there.
I see what they did there.
Friday and Saturday evening game shows, Star Wars Trivia Showdown, Schmodown, Free Play with Fantasy Flight Games. I mean, there's just a ton of cool stuff happening in Orlando this weekend. So check it out, StarWars.com. You can catch the live stream starting Thursday at 11 a.m. Now, also at Star Wars Celebration, Greg, you posted this story on our thread on Facebook Messenger. Star Wars Celebration, well, Lego has been a sponsor of Star Wars. Well, I guess they've been a licensee.
Partner.
Yeah. Partner of Star Wars for quite a while. And they have for sale at this Star Wars Celebration, there's always these convention exclusives. And Lego will be selling an exclusive set, a very small set. It's the scene where Han and Luke break into the detention center on the Death Star in Episode 4. It looks like it's a couple of hundred pieces. It's not huge. But fan demand and excitement around this new Lego set that will be sold only at Celebration is huge. Greg, what was your quote? Fans are losing their shit. Over this.
Losing their shit over that thing.
All right, I got to jump in on this exclusive convention BS. I'm calling it right now. It doesn't happen. It's great to build the hype, but it will be available online, I guarantee you, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks after the convention is over. They've done it a million times. Seriously, a million times. Count them. San Diego Comic-Con exclusives left and right. Greg, you're familiar with this. You've been there as well. Those things go up on Hasbro's site, Lego site, within a month.
Yeah, but is it fans like selling a t-shirt they got for $15, selling it for $50 online?
No, this is Hasbro's site. This is actually their website. Puts it up and say, if you weren't able to make it, fear not, we'll have this up on our site in within 3 or 4 weeks. So...
Which is great. So I don't have to spend $249 on eBay right now to buy one when nobody has it, but it's for sale. Only one left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just be cautious. Be wary of this. You know, if they suddenly change their mind and it is exclusive only to this convention, what a shocker. It'll be the first time ever.
Really?
Yeah, really.
That's annoying.
It is annoying.
But is there anything to saying, like, you know, I actually waited in line for 2 hours to buy this.
All I got was a stupid t-shirt with my Lego set.
You know,
that would be great.
That is one thing they need to fix. At the last Celebration, it was awful.
Yeah.
Like the line to get into the area where you bought stuff was 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
And then another hour waiting in line to pay. It was like half a day just to buy, you know, a few t-shirts.
San Diego Comic-Con
I think you mentioned it already, but let's stress, they're running a lottery to get to be able to buy this thing. A lottery. So it's not like there's even going to be, you have to line up for the lottery is what you're going to have to do.
Wow.
That's ridiculous.
Wait, so I'm looking at StarWarsCelebration.com, and there's a link for this And it says the lottery is now closed. Winners will be notified by April 10th. So you had to enter the lottery beforehand, I guess.
They're not doing it there. So you had to do it online.
Wow.
It's crazy. It's really crazy. And I don't know how, Scott, I hear what you're saying, because they do that all the time at Comic-Con with the exclusively at Comic-Con sets that are only exclusive for about 6 months or something like that.
Yes.
But, you know, this have been that have been only at specific conventions. So
okay,
this
well,
may end up being one of those.
It could be that way, but I'm not going to hold my breath. And the reason why is because I have a garage filled with San Diego Comic-Con exclusive only items that you could get online a month later. So that's why I have a little hesitation on this one. If it is that way, kudos to Lego for finally doing it right. But yeah, you're going to drive a lot of fans crazy, and eBay prices are going to be insane.
Yeah. Well, especially, if you really want to get one, don't look for one in the first month after Celebration, because it's going to be ridiculous what these things are going to go for a month. But if it's 6 months down the road, keep an eye on it, because the prices will come down.
But those are the ones that are being sold by fans, right?
Yeah.
eBay. So am I going to be able to go to the Lego website and buy this kit in a couple months for $14.99?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think Greg is holding down on this, or doubling down. Are you? Are you going right testicle on this, Greg?
I made no wagers. I made no testicle wagers on this one at all, my friend. But I will say that it is possible it may end up being an exclusive set.
Yeah.
Interesting.
However, order and buy all the pieces you need, so...
That's true. All right, well, guys, we're gonna take a little break here, a little earlier in the show today. We're gonna honor our sponsor, and that is audible.com. And I want to get this out of the way early. I don't mean to say that in a negative way at all, but it's been on my mind today and yesterday, because there's a huge new book that's out, guys. Timothy Zahn, Thrawn, is out. If you pre-ordered it, you may have received it. Dave, do not ever, under any circumstances, call him Harry Potter, received his version of the pre-order. Did anyone else pre-order it?
No, so Harry got his?
I did not pre-order it. I did just pick it up on Audible, though. It's available on on audible.com. I just picked it up myself, so I'll be listening to it probably within the next couple weeks.
Yep, and I'm going to buy it tonight, because I want to listen to it on the way into work tomorrow. And... What's great about Audible is when the pre-orders come out, you can pull it down from Audible, use one of your credits with your membership, and get it right away. So already it's a 4.5 out of 5 stars on Audible. And so tonight we have a sample. This is from audible.com, where actually listeners of the Wretched Hive podcast, that's you, can get a free audiobook download and a free 30-day trial to give the opportunity to check out their summary. I should start this over. My goodness.
It was, you know, I let's take a step back. It was my understanding I would get a free 30-day trial, though.
there are no children that you can have that are free, number one. There's, you know,
sure there are. They're called nieces and nephews.
Oh, that's true. There are more than 250 Star Wars titles on Audible.com. And this one is, boy, very, very highly anticipated. Timothy Zahn, narrated by Mark Thompson, Star Wars Thrawn. Let's have a listen here, guys.
One of the V-Wing starfighters went down,
Park said, nodding across the clearing where the distant lights could be seen flickering through the tendrils of evening mist wafting through the trees. Eli nodded silently. He'd noticed the lights earlier, but had assumed they were just more of Barriss's survey team.
I'll be right there, Barriss said. With your permission, Captain. Go ahead, Park said. I'll stay here with Cadet Vanto and see what else he can tell us about the writing on these crates.
So again, I just love the Audible books. You've got the background, sort of ambient noise, the animals in the background. Mark Thompson is the narrator, and he's... That was a bottle of Jameson's being opened in front of me. He has narrated quite a few of these Star Wars books. from Zahn and other authors. And they are well worth the small investment that you make to get into audible.com. And you, as a listener of the Wretched Hive podcast, can download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/hive. That's H-I-V-E. Again, that's audibletrial.com/hive for your free audiobook. And you can download Star Wars Thrawn by Timothy Zahn today.
Hot off the presses.
No doubt. No doubt about it. So you downloaded your copy. Have you started listening to it at all, Greg?
Not a bit.
All right.
I'm finishing up S-Town, a serial podcast.
Yeah, what do you think of S-Town?
Just finishing that one up.
What do you think of it?
It's started strong. It started real intriguing, but it's just kind of petering out, I feel. I'm kind of losing interest, so I'll be happy when it's over.
Okay. I binge listened to it the first weekend it was out. I couldn't get enough of it. I couldn't stop listening. I thought it was fantastic.
Whole way through, though? Like, the whole time it was, you were with it the entire time?
It's 7 episodes, maybe around, like, episode 5 and 6, it got a little, started to drag a little bit, and then came back at the end. So, you know, it's a commitment, yeah, listening to 7 hours of audio over a weekend, you know?
It's just
a commitment.
I don't know. I felt it could have been a tight, we're not talking about Star Wars again, but I felt it could have been a tight, like, 4 or 5 episodes. I think 7 might have been a little long.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I thought it was great. Check it out. That Serial is the primary podcast, and this is called S-Town, which is sort of an affiliate podcast to Serial. It's very, very good. Check it out.
It's well produced.
Very well produced. Yes, absolutely. And while we're on books, I wanted to bring this up because this I heard about last week, again, perusingstarwars.com. There's another book coming out later this year, and this one sounds really cool. It's not on Audible yet. It's not written yet or not released yet, but book is called Star Wars From a Certain Point of View. And this is an anthology book in celebration of the 40th anniversary of Episode 4. They've got 40 authors writing short stories, and each one is the story of Episode 4 told from an auxiliary character's point of view. Like, you might have the bartender in the Mos Eisley Cantina, or a stormtrooper that didn't quite find the droids they were looking for, all telling their version of the events that they witness that took place in Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope. And I just thought that was a really cool concept.
What book? What is this?
This is called Star Wars From a Certain Point of View.
Wow, I'm pretty sure they did this already with Tales from Mos Eisley.
So it's written in the same vein.
Okay.
Of that. Yeah, right. Definitely.
And also a Jabba's Palace one. There was a mm-hmm. follow-up book to that. Good stuff. I like it.
Yeah. Modern take. And there's sort of an all-star lineup of authors that are weighing in. Gary Whitta, Chuck Wendig, John Jackson Miller. There's a list of the authors at StarWars.com. The cool thing about this, too, is that all of the authors are doing it without any compensation. And the proceeds of the book are donated to First Book, which is a nonprofit that provides new books, learning materials, and other essentials to educators and organizations that serve children in need. So it's for a good cause. And it sounds like a very, very cool project. I'm looking forward to that very much. All right, so let's move on from books back to the films. And we have some Episode 8 news. No, don't get too excited, guys. I did not produce an Episode 8 audio clip yet. But maybe after Celebration, I'll get to it. Hopefully there'll be some good stuff I can pull from.
I'm sure we'll get some good audio we can pull some clips from the new trailer that's coming out at about 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on Friday the 14th.
For sure. So this is Star Wars 8 news. Also, actually, this kind of relates to Thrawn. There's quite a bit of conjecture, and I think we talked about this already. There's some rumors about him possibly playing Thrawn in The Last Jedi. What do you think about Benicio del Toro actually bringing Thrawn to life on the big screen? Think that's a possibility, or is this internet BS?
Chatter?
I'm calling BS.
It seems a little BS-y to me.
Yeah, he's...
Millennials call it clickbait.
Clickbait.
Yeah, he's got a lot wrapped up in the Marvel Universe right now, so...
Mm.
You know, he might be showing up again in the next Avengers film or possibly Thor, so...
Well, he is in 8. That's been confirmed.
I know.
So he's in the movie, we just don't know what... And he's got to be playing a bad guy. I mean, come on. It's Benicio del Toro.
Are you stereotyping Benicio?
I am. Look
at him.
He's just
a bad guy. Well, a picture, of course, makes him look like a bad guy.
Yeah, that's true.
But, No. I can't see them throwing Thrawn in there. I can't.
Yeah, I don't think they need to.
No.
They certainly don't need to.
No. You got what's his face? Emo boy. You got enough.
Kylo.
What, Scott? They cast you?
Yes.
Wow.
I didn't want to tell you guys.
Did you guys see the rumor that was going around that they were going to be casting The Rock in the next Star Wars film or in one of the upcoming Star Wars films because the Star Wars Twitter account started following him?
Okay.
Really?
Look. There, you know what?
I thought that was fun.
It's funny. It's hilarious.
I think he's going to play 3PO. Buffed out 3PO.
I'm over this Rock business. I am. And I'm not trying to be negative.
You're just jealous because he's sexier than you.
I don't give a flying rat's ass. Let him run up and down the beach in the next whatever remake film of Baywatch. I'm done. You know, it's great. Maybe he can be in Tooth Fairy 2 or whatever he needs to be in. Seriously, make some better choices.
What do you got against Dwayne Johnson?
I have nothing against him. I think he's a really cool guy, actually. But
all right.
And he's got a great attitude towards certain things. But it's like, come on, man. You've done enough films for your kids. Let's get back on track. It's Well, he's doing what? The next Fast... What is it? Fast 29? What are we at? Fast Furious 29? Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's next. He is literally the highest paid actor in Hollywood right now.
Yeah, he's in 3 movies coming out in like 4 months. It's just... See, that's all it is. It's just too much for me. It's overload. It's overkill. So
that's amazing.
Hardest working man in showbiz.
I'm happy for him.
Amazing.
But that's what he was when he was a wrestler. It drove me crazy. It's like too much of him. Mm. I can't deal with it. Somebody kick his ass. And that's what it was.
He's got a lot of
good luck. He's fucking huge.
I know.
You better have the force on your side.
Good luck. I'm not saying I'm going to be the one to do it. That ain't going to happen. Unless I throw a bottle of Jameson at him.
All right, so we've determined that Scott has a beef with Dwayne Johnson.
I do not have a... Let's get this clear.
Scott does not have a beef with Dwayne Johnson. He's got a huge man chub for Dwayne Johnson.
I do. There you go.
Man chub.
You got dude. Beef with the man beef?
The dude is adorable as hell. What can I say?
He wants to have beef with Dwayne Johnson.
Wow. He wants Dwayne Johnson's beef.
Whoa! This took a turn.
Damn.
All right, we're going to move on from that.
Well, I was going to tag you guys in this Facebook post, but not anymore.
That is our next podcast, Beef with Dwayne.
Ooh, that could be a segment. Moving on from episode 8 to episode 9. We've got episode 9 news, guys. Boy, this is...
9!
It's happening too fast. I think, you know, there
nine
was so
times.
So many stories this week. And I think, obviously, with Star Wars Celebration this weekend, there's just a ton of little things that are leaking out. And Star Wars Episode 9 director Colin Trevorrow.
That's what she said.
Was interviewed. And I couldn't get a source for this. And I'm sorry, I couldn't find the audio for this. But this is express.co.uk. Trevorrow was interviewed about the pressures related to making a Star Wars film. He says, "We're writing and designing and there's a draft and we're throwing 110% of our souls into it," he told MTV. "There will be nothing left of me when I'm done." And he added, "I think about it in the context of 3 films, meaning 7, 8, and 9, 6 films, 9 films, and 1 film. It's a lot. I mean, think about what these directors have to deal with. You know, they're it's got to connect to, like, episode 9. It's got to look and connect well with the first 8. It's got to make sense in terms of the new trilogy. It's got to be able to stand on its own for fans that this is their entrance to the Star Wars universe. And there's a lot to consider if you're a Star Wars director. It really, really just sort of like highlights the great job that JJ did and Gareth did with Rogue One.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in on this because I totally agree with what you're saying, especially for Colin Trevorrow with this being technically the final film. I know it's not. I know that they've talked about doing more films past it, but let's just put it in that perspective that we have a prequel trilogy, we have the original trilogy, and now we have this final trilogy that kind of, in theory, could wrap up the Skywalker story. That's a lot of weight on his shoulders to be that final film. You have to pull off some great stuff, or you might end up with a Return of the Jedi. But on top of that, let's throw this back out to Gareth Edwards. Let's bring it up to Rogue One. There's some great stuff in the news. I don't know if we're going to be talking about this, but I'm going to throw it in anyway right now. In an interview recently, and I didn't send the link over to you guys yet, but they talked about some of the possible inconsistencies that he had to deal with when creating that film and where it falls in the timeline of events. And one of the great things is people talked about is, why don't we see the Death Troopers anymore later on throughout the trilogy, the original trilogy, and now with the current one that they're filming, and along with a few other things, such as certain ships. The U-Wing is not shown anywhere else in the trilogy. And he actually had a great interview where he talks directly about those issues, and he said, the only way I can do this, and I'm not trying to cheap out on this, is, you know, the Death Trooper squad was a very select squad, I believe he said, for Krennic's particular team. He had handpicked those troopers for his protection unit are all literally wiped out on Scarif at the end of that film. And now they could have gone and made a new squad of those or whatever, however we're looking at them now as clones or whatnot. But also same thing with the U-Wings. The U-Wing fighters are very scarce in the Rogue One saga. And here is another example of a director taking his a wonderful idea, a bunch of talented people writing, director making this film that's got to fit in like a puzzle piece right in the middle of this extremely popular universe that we all love, obviously doing a podcast about it, and make it work. And again, you have these ships that are not seen anywhere else. And if you ever notice, if you go back and rewatch Rogue One, which I know a bunch of us have, you will notice that all the U-Wing fighters that are shown in this, now it doesn't mean they're not anywhere else, but the ones that we physically see are shown making it through that gate down onto the planet. And as we know, at the end of that film, I don't have to say spoilers anymore. Pretty much everything gets wiped out because of the Death Star. Great way for Gareth to kind of wrap it up and say, hey, look, this is how it was kind of planned out. Some of it was planned, some of it wasn't, but it works out that way, and that's how we want to see it. And it's a wonderful little interview with him. Again, what a great idea to have a great director, but also a fan of the films working this and just making things work right.
Yeah.
Because I went back and rewatched Rogue One, and I'm telling you right now, damn, that's a good movie. It is a damn good movie. Minus the blobby mind suck thing and a couple puns by Vader, but I'm okay with that.
Don't choke on your aspirations.
Yeah, yeah. I know, we've talked about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, there was some additional Rogue One news this week, and there was a great interview, great little interview, on ET Online with Riz Ahmed, who he talked about Rogue One, and in particular, he had some comments about the Darth Vader ending, the Death Walk. And I thought this was worth playing. This is Riz Ahmed being introduced by Ashley Croson, being interviewed by Ashley Croson on etonline.com. Check this out.
That's fine.
Yeah. It was actually when we were sat at Lucasfilm at the ranch. And we were watching the film for the first time. It was on my birthday.
Watch it for the first time on your birthday?
Yeah, I know.
What a present.
Cool. Yeah, I know, right? It was awesome.
They are requesting a call sign.
Rogue. Rogue One. And so the music came up and it said Star Wars on screen. And I just started kind of like hearing like, wow, what's that like loud drumming noise? And I realized it's like my pulse in my ears, just kind of like, yeah, a crazy amount of adrenaline kind of shooting through me. I had to almost kind of just take a few deep breaths because it was like, this is surreal. This isn't, it just didn't feel real. None of it felt real, really. It was kind of.
So really quick. So it's your birthday. You're an actor. You're sitting and watching this movie before anybody else has. You feel your like blood pumping through your head so much it sounds like drums. I mean, I love this guy. I love how he clearly is a fan, you know. And I've said it before with the directors, it's great having fans directing these films. It's great having actors that are fans too. I mean, this is someone who's energetic. You know, Bob Iger needs to take a lesson from a guy like Riz Ahmed, who clearly is, you know, really enthralled with being in this movie and excited about it.
He needs to take a lesson from the entire damn cast of all three trilogies. That's what he needs. That energy. All three of them.
It's a good point. Okay, more from Riz. Here we go.
Over the other actors, like, you've seen these two. They were just watching, looking ahead. Shut up, I'm watching your thing.
I had that same reaction, by the way. Like, yeah, you're like,
this isn't real.
It?
Why is Riz in a film?
No.
Star Wars film?
No.
This is stupid. This isn't real.
I just meant when I was watching it, I was like, there isn't a new Star Wars movie coming out right now. I'm not watching this. And I kind of blacked out. And then I had to watch it a second time, and I was like, this is happening.
Oh, awesome.
I mean, Rogue One has the most badass Vader scene of the entire franchise.
I know. We didn't. They kept that from us. That was never in the script. We didn't know about it. It was the first time we saw it. So it was like, oh, okay, so the film's finished. Like, Darth Vader epilogue. Like, what's going on here? And we just all started shouting and cheering and clapping, you know, in that screening room. Yeah, that was a sneaky one. That was very sneaky.
You had no idea.
No, I didn't know about that.
So the cast had no idea about the Death Walk scene. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. You know, you're right. It's just the anti Bob Iger. And why didn't we have our Bob Iger introduction just at the mere mention of his name? I don't know. But it's nice to hear Riz Ahmed talk like that and have him be excited for the project and have him talk about that. You know,
the
going back and watching.
Chief Executive Officer of the Walt Disney Company, Bob Iger.
Thanks, Bob. Great you could be here. Or going back and watching the Vader scene from Rogue One, since it's been out on video now, we can all watch it in high def in the comfort of our own homes here.
Right.
It really is just a well put together, great little scene at the end of that movie. It's just fantastic, that whole sequence there. There's so much tension in it, so much fear. Everybody just is so awesome. And Vader slices a guy in half.
I know. Yeah. Yeah, I you know what, I'm going to jump in on this, Greg. That moment, the one rebel that is breaking for the door,
yeah,
and screaming, it actually terrified me, knowing it was coming, seeing it all happen again. But that one guy, I'm like, dude, please make it through the door. Goddamn, please just get through the door. I was talking to my own TV. I was like, this is crazy.
Bounding on the door, help us!
I know.
And then Vader takes the guy, lifts him up, pins him up against the ceiling, and then guts him as he walks by. It's just so great.
It's intense. It is one of the most terrifying sequences in the Star Wars franchise.
So I think we may have talked about this last week, but forgive me if we did. But Gareth Edwards took a bunch of the stunt guys aside and said, "Okay, you guys, I want you to go choreograph it."
Yeah.
And he just let them do it.
Yeah.
And he kept like 70% of what they suggested. So that's pretty cool too. I mean, talk about like directing on the fly and just letting the creative juices flow like that. I mean, that's why it works so well, you know?
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah, can you imagine if and again, I'm going to pick on George, but if he had that ultimate control over it and just said, no, Vader's not going to lift a guy up in the ceiling and cut him through the gut while he's hanging upside down like that. if that didn't happen, you couldn't. That changed my perspective on Vader so much. I know everyone says, "Well, he's the greatest villain of all time." AFI he's been on the top. What, he's either number one or number two of the greatest villains of all time on their list.
Yeah, he was way up there. Yeah.
Yeah. So to look back and say, "Well, yeah, I already know Vader's the greatest villain of all time," That's great, but here is one of those great examples of a director that took a moment and said, all we need is just this tiny little moment and we can show people why and not ruin anything about that character. Hmm. And oh my God, it actually makes me, dude, I'm getting goosebumps right now. Seriously. It is a terrifying moment in that film, which really cements that film because there's a lot of great stuff that happens in Rogue One.
Good stuff. One more story, quick story about Episode 9. It was announced this last week that Carrie Fisher will appear in Episode 9. Not digitized, not recreated, but apparently they have some B-roll or some footage that they filmed that they're going to use for Episode 9. Carrie Fisher's family and estate have okayed Lucasfilm to use that footage, and so that's pretty cool. She's going to be in Episode 9.
If that B-roll is what I'm hoping it is, decent enough stuff that might have been cut from Episode 8,
yeah.
That'll be a nice segue, like tie-in for her character, I'm hoping.
Yeah.
If they're able to make it work, that's amazing. That's great.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know if there's really the need to digitally insert her. You know, I'm sure there's going to be some manipulation of those items, and it'll end up similar, although in with today's technology, but something similar to either to Brandon Lee in The Crow or Oliver Reed in
Oh, did we lose you? Are you there, Greg?
I'm still here. I'm here. Okay. I got it.
So you said Brandon Lee
in The Crow. I ended on Oliver Reed in Gladiator. Did we get that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we got you now. Okay. We cut off for a second. Yeah, agree. I think it's great. I think it's great to bookend the final film with Carrie, and really was really happy to see that her family is very supportive of that. So
yeah,
that's great. We had a really cool video. Moving on, actually moving back to 1977. I don't know if you guys caught this, but you know, one of the things I do at midweek when I have a few minutes to spare here and there as I scrounge around for Star Wars related news, and I get my little feed of Star Wars related hits, and this came up, and I you know, I was going to leave it out, but it's such a cool little clip. This is an interview with Alec Guinness from something called the Parkinson Talk Show. This is from late in 1977, so Star Wars Episode 4 A New Hope, which was just Star Wars at the time, was released in May of 1977. This interview took place sometime in the fall, when the movie had already become at the time, the highest grossing film of all time. And this is Alec Guinness on an interview show. And what I love about this is, you know, we do everyone has an impression of George Lucas, right? Well, in this interview, Alec Guinness does his impression of George Lucas. And he tells a funny little story about the royalties that he's getting from the film. And so I just wanted to play some of this interesting stuff. I'd never heard it before this week. This is Alec Guinness on Parkinson Talk Show in the fall of 1977. Check this out.
Now, let's talk about the latest aspect of your career, which is, I mean, it's quite extraordinary. I mean, all these years in movies, now all of a sudden you've hit the jackpot with a thing called Star Wars, which I saw last week, and I think it just looked really super. I mean, it's marvelous escapism, and it'll clean up. But, I mean, how did you come to be involved with a piece of science fiction like that?
Well, it arrived as a script. I was just finishing a picture in Hollywood. I took another day to go, and the script arrived on my dressing table. And I heard that it had been delivered by George Lucas. And I thought, well, that's rather impressive, because he's an up-and-coming and very respect-worthy young director. So, and then when I opened it and found it was science fiction, I thought, oh, crumbs, you know, this is simply not for me.
First of all, I have to say, watching this video, It's a little strange looking at him, because at this point in his life, he was pretty bald. He had the receding hairline. So it occurred to me that he must have worn a hairpiece for the movie. And he's got no beard also. He's clean shaven. So he does not look like Obi-Wan in this, but it, of course, sounds exactly like him. It's him.
Sure.
But yeah, so he must have worn some sort of a hairpiece, because his hair is down in his face in that movie.
I'm used to any images of Alec Guinness just because I've been a fan of him for a long time. He was in one of the greatest films for me of all time, called The Bridge Over the River Kwai.
Of course.
So I am used to different looks from him, but he is clearly a lot older looking in this than he actually looked in Star Wars.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. Yeah. Okay, here's some more.
And then I started reading, and it seemed to me the dialogue was pretty ropey. But I had to go on turning the page. And I mean, that's an essential in any script. You know, you've got to know what happens next or what's going to be said next. And I went on reading, and I thought, no, I like this. If only we can get some of the dialogue altered. And then I met him, we got on very well, and I found myself doing it, that's all.
And it's made more money than any other movie ever made.
So I'm told.
And yes. You've got yourself the start of the action.
Ah, well.
2.5%, isn't it?
No, not quite that, no.
What is it? Sir Alec, how much is it?
Well, as you want that story. Please. I tried to keep this dark. I don't know where this all sprang from. I think it was the Evening Standard to blame for this. I had a contract. My agent said I've asked for 2% of whatever, because we didn't think we'd make any, you know. I've had a percentage on a film before, and they lose money like mad if I have a percentage. And I said, oh, fine, all right, 2%. And the day before the film opened in San Francisco, George Lucas phoned me and said, he's very diffident and very shy and quiet, and he has a funny little voice. And he said, I think the movie's kind of going to be all right. And I said, oh, I'm glad, George. And he said, yeah, the press quite like it. I said, good. He said, we're pleased with, you know, very grateful for little alterations you suggested, and so we'd like to offer you another 0.5%, by making it 2.5%. I said, well, that's marvelous, thank you very much. But a matter of a few weeks later, in fact, the day I saw the film, I've just seen it once, the producer, who again is a charming, delightful chap, I said, about this little extra something you were kindly offering, I wonder if we could have something in writing just so that, you know, my agent and so on believes this. And he said, oh, about the 0.25%, yes.
Anyway, I thought that was really cool. I had never seen that clip from him before, and thanks for indulging me. I love Alec Guinness, and I thought that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
George Lucas impression there from Sir Alec. All right, so moving on. We got two more stories to share tonight, guys, and one of them, Greg, you provided for us. This is a little Harrison Ford update. Harrison Ford apparently
what are you gonna update about me?
will not be fined or lose his pilot's license.
What?
yay?
Over his latest aviation mishap. The U.S. federal authorities have said, this is reading from MSN.com. Ford, 74, has been under investigation for the incident at John Wayne Airport, which is in our backyard here, about 20 miles from where we sit right now, in Orange County, California, in February, which saw the actor mistakenly land his single-engine Aviat Husky plane on a taxiway rather than a runway, passing over an American Airlines jet that was just taking off. So, no traffic school, no fine, nothing for Harrison Ford. He's getting off scot-free with this one.
Pays to be rich.
Pays to be rich.
Can we at least give him some like speech classes to get him to stop mumbling so much? That would be nice.
Now, it does say that the actor will retain his pilot certificate without restriction, but he had agreed to undergo airman counseling before federal authorities closed the matter.
You know what that is, right?
What's that?
Hey, don't do that again. There's your counseling right there.
Hmm.
I'm sure he donated something to John Wayne Airport.
Actually, we have a clip. We have a clip of Harrison Ford being interrogated by the FAA officials.
Hey,
final story of the night. There's a Star Wars fan. And this is KTUU.com.
It's not
K250. It's K2SO.
I have to reference that, man.
I know, man. How did I? I don't know
what
I was
thinking. No, it's good. It's good.
This is the CBS affiliate in Anchorage, Alaska, reporting on a person that lives there in Anchorage, Chris Blankenship.
Do we have fans in Alaska, by the way? I just want to know before I start ripping on Alaska.
You know, that's a good question. I don't know. I will check.
Okay.
I'll have an answer for you next show.
All right. I'll back off then.
Chris Blankenship used his Regal Ultimate ticket. Now, this is a ticket that allows him to watch one movie a day every single day for free.
What?
Yep. He can watch a movie in the theater every day for free. Just walks in once per day as long as it's in a Regal theater. I don't. Can you buy that?
I want to know more about this.
Or did he win it? I don't know.
No. What it was is there was the opportunity to, and because they're offering the same thing now for Guardians of the Galaxy 2. So if you buy the ultimate ticket and they're only available for a limited time, it costs $100 and it allows you to come in once a day, every day that the movie is in the theater during its theatrical run.
Oh, wow.
Oh, to see the movie, just that movie.
Just that movie.
Okay. Well, that's pretty cool. So you could buy a ticket. He obviously just bought the ticket for Rogue One, and
One ultimate ticket for Rogue One. Yes,
I see. So, on Saturday, April 8th, he saw Rogue One for the 100th time in the theater.
Jeez,
100 times!
Wow.
Good on that dude, man. Good on that dude.
Major props, right? Blankenship said his wife bought him the special ticket last fall, which allows him to watch the movie once per day as long as it's in Regal theaters. The best place to watch the movie is in the theater, according to Blankenship. Quote, there's nothing like seeing it there because it's large. You have your pop and you have hot buttered popcorn. You have the hot dog there and it's where the film is meant to be seen.
When he said pop, I think he means soda.
Right. And I got to say, as a dietitian, if he's drinking soda, eating popcorn and a hot dog every single day for 100 days, that is just not good. But major props to him for seeing basically probably, well, how long did it take? 100 episodes? And how many days do you think that movie's been out? It's been about, 4 months?
Yeah.
Pretty close to maybe a little bit over 100 days.
Yeah. I'm giving a major blank. What's his name? Blankenship?
Yeah.
Blankenship! I'm giving you lots of props for being alive right now.
Yeah.
Seriously. Hot dog, hot butter popcorn, and a soda for 100 days straight.
That's a lot of hot dogs.
Dude, seriously. Wow.
That is a lot of hot dogs.
That is a lot. that's
it's the Very Lonely Luke Tweet of the Week.
Red 5 standing by.
Because if there's something to whine about, you can count on Luke.
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
Even though he's now an old man.
No!
It just isn't fair.
Greg, what do you got for us this week?
This week, man, it's just we had a good couple run of weeks there on as far as Very Lonely Luke tweets, and honestly, he's the length of time he's spending out on his own is really taking a toll on his tweeting prowess here. But we've got from March the 27th, Very Lonely Luke says, "I'm not a people person, but I get along great with R2 until I abandon him forever." Droid person either.
Poor R2. There we go.
Exactly.
Mercifully.
I had so much more to say. Damn it. No, it's all good. I should say that.
You got about 2.5 minutes. Well, I think the IQ quotient on the show tonight dropped about 50 points without Dave here. We missed Dave. Do not, under any circumstances, ever call him Harry Potter.
I don't know who you're talking about. Dave who?
The guy that used to be on the show.
Harry, right?
He better have the book review to end all book reviews next time, though, because I don't want to hear him talk for shit about the Clippers. Who cares about the Clippers?
Yeah.
I want a full game recap.
So if you're out there listening, Harry, I mean...
Bingo!
Well, if you want to call and complain to us about Dave not being with us, You can do it. Call the Wretched Hive hotline, 562-455-4483. That's 562-455-Hive. Easy for me to say. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/WretchedHivePodcast. You can email us, WretchedHive@yahoo.com. We are also available on Twitter. Find us on Twitter, @WretchHivePod. Podbean is the gracious host of our show. You can find us on Podbean at WretchedHive.podbean.com. But maybe the easiest way to find us is through iTunes. Go to iTunes, bring up your podcast feed on your phone or your computer. Search for the Wretched Hive Podcast. Subscribe to the show. Leave a review. 5 stars, 1 star, any stars. We don't care. We just want to hear from you, fans of the Wretched Hive Podcast. We are so grateful to be able to do this a couple times a month with you. And we'd love to hear your feedback. So reach out and let us know what you think of the show. Guys, any final thoughts? Episode 34 is in the books, guys.
Yeah, I'm throwing major shade out to Good Morning America. This is my ultimate slam. Thanks for the ultimate horrible tease and your pre-celebration madness that you caused this week. Thanks a lot, Good Morning America.
Thanks for nothing, GMA.
Damn you.
Wow, major heat on that one.
We'll have to follow up with that one next week. Yeah. Guys, we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Have a great week. May the Force be with us all.
Always.
Listen, Celebration. Trailer or I eat my
balls.